Most of what stresses you out is not yours to control. It's someone else's opinion, someone else's mistake, something from the past, or something that hasn't even happened yet. But here's the hard truth. The more time you spend worrying about the external, the more power you give it over your internal world. And in the end, it's not the chaos around you that breaks you. It's the chaos inside you that you never learn to calm. Stoicism begins where your illusion ends. And that illusion is control. Not the kind that leads you forward, but the kind that drains your energy as you chase after the impossible. Because here's what no one tells you. Peace doesn't come from trying to manage everything. It comes from learning what's yours and what never was, what you can change and what you must let go. That's where real strength is built, not in controlling life, but in responding to it with clarity, discipline, and acceptance. This episode isn't about running from chaos. It's about how to face it. It's about training your mind, not to dominate the world, but to master the one place that's always been yours, yourself. Let's begin. Your peace begins where control ends. There's something profoundly human about wanting to control life. It starts early, when we're kids trying to get our way, when we cry to be heard, when we think the world should bend to our emotions. As we grow older, that desire becomes more subtle, but no less powerful. We try to control how people see us. We try to predict the future and manipulate outcomes. We try to force peace, success, and even happiness, as if these things could be wrestled into submission. But the more we tighten our grip on life, the more it slips through our fingers. The Stoics understood this truth thousands of years ago. Epictetus said, "There is only one way to happiness, and that is to cease worrying about things which are beyond the power of our will." Read that again. It's not a poetic phrase. It's a warning. The more you chase after what's outside your control, the more you forfeit the peace that's already available inside you. Peace doesn't begin when life aligns with your plans. It begins when your mind stops demanding that it must. Imagine this. You're stuck in traffic, late for a meeting. You can shout, curse, clench your jaw, blame the other drivers. But none of that will move the cars. All it does is multiply your frustration. Now imagine instead, you accept it. You breathe. You say, "This is out of my hands," but my reaction isn't. In that moment, you reclaim something most people never do. Your inner authority. You didn't control the traffic, but you controlled yourself. And that is real power. Let's go deeper. Control isn't just about what happens to you. It's about how you interpret what happens. The Stoics taught that it's not events that disturb us, but our judgments about them. Someone ignores your message, and you think, "They're mad at me." A plan fails, and you think, "I'm a failure." But what if neither of those things is true? What if the only thing causing your stress is the story you've attached to the situation? That's why learning to let go is not a weakness. It's a discipline. It's the decision to stop letting your peace depend on things that were never stable to begin with. The weather changes, people leave, markets crash. Life moves in unpredictable waves, but your mind, your breath, your principles, these are your anchor, and you don't need to control the storm when you've learned how to hold the wheel. One of the most painful patterns we fall into is believing that if we just try harder, we'll gain control. If we explain better, they'll understand. If we give more, they'll stay. If we worry enough, we'll prevent the worst. But most of that is an illusion. You don't control how others feel. You don't control the future. You don't control how the world responds to your efforts. And here's the most liberating truth of all. You don't need to. You only need to take full ownership of what's actually yours, your attention, your choices, your attitude, your response. That's where all your leverage is. And when you operate from that space, something shifts. Life no longer feels like a constant battle. It becomes a dance. Some steps are yours to lead, others you let go and flow. And in that flow, peace finds you. So how do you train this mindset? Start by paying attention to your tension. Every time you feel your body tighten, ask yourself, what am I trying to control right now? Is it someone's opinion, an outcome, a situation from the past? If the answer is yes, pause, breathe, release it, not because you don't care, but because it's not yours to carry. Let go, not as a last resort, but as your first act of wisdom. Your peace doesn't come from bending the world to your will. It comes from aligning your will with reality. And when you can do that, not just once, but daily, moment by moment, then even in the middle of chaos, you'll find something few ever experience: stillness. Control is internal, not external. It's easy to think that control means having power over the world around us, over events, people, timing, outcomes. But the more we try to manage what lies outside us, the more life reminds us. We never really held that power. People change their minds, plans fall apart, things go wrong despite our best efforts. And yet, in the middle of all that, one form of control remains untouched: internal control. That's where Stoicism builds its foundation. The Stoic doesn't chase after what he can't influence. He sharpens his awareness of what he can. Not the world, but the self. Not the chaos, but the clarity beneath it. Marcus Aurelius said, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." And that's the shift. Control doesn't mean making things go your way. It means mastering how you respond when they don't. But most people are trained differently. We're taught to seek results, to fix everything, to prevent every mistake. That's why we obsess over how others see us. That's why we replay conversations in our heads. That's why we lose sleep over things we can't undo. We confuse external control with safety. We think that if we can just manage every detail, we'll finally feel okay. But what actually happens is the opposite. We become prisoners to variables we can't command. Here's the hard part. Internal control isn't flashy. You can't show it off. No one applauds you for staying calm in silence, or for choosing not to argue back, or for letting something go when your ego wanted to hold on. But those small internal victories, they build something unshakable. They build the kind of character that doesn't collapse under pressure, the kind that doesn't need the world to behave in order to be at peace. Let's say someone insults you. Your pride wants to respond. Your emotions flare. But in that moment, you have a choice, not over them, but over you. Do you take the bait, or do you choose silence? Do you carry their words, or do you drop them? That moment, right there, is where real control lives. Not in changing them, but in commanding yourself. And it's not just about emotions. It's about your focus, your energy, your attention. Where you put your mental effort each day defines who you become. If you give it away to every distraction, to every problem you can't fix, to every drama that isn't yours, then slowly your sense of power fades. You feel tired, not because life is too heavy, but because you're carrying what isn't yours. The Stoic filters life like a master. What's mine to act on? What's mine to release? There's a quiet kind of confidence that comes with this mindset, a freedom. Because when you stop trying to control the external, You free yourself from the exhausting need for perfection. You become lighter, calmer, stronger. You become the kind of person who walks into a storm and still walks straight. But this takes practice. It takes awareness. It takes pausing before reacting. It takes asking yourself daily, am I trying to control the uncontrollable, or am I leading myself with intention? Because you can't stop the tide, but you can learn how to swim. The more you train your mind to focus inward, the less shaken you'll be by what happens outward. And that's the true test of power, not how much you command, but how little you're disturbed. Here's the challenge. For the next week, anytime something frustrates you, pause. Don't ask how to fix it. Ask, is this inside my control or outside of it? If it's inside, take action. If it's not, let it go. Not because you're weak, but because your strength is too valuable to waste. Real control doesn't shout. It doesn't seek attention. It moves silently, inwardly, reshaping how you live, not by bending the world, but by mastering the only place you ever truly had power, yourself. Reclaim your energy from the uncontrollable. Every day, without realizing it, we leak energy, not through action, but through attention. We give it to arguments that ended hours ago, to imaginary scenarios that may never happen, to people who are no longer in our lives, to outcomes we fear but cannot influence. And by the end of the day, we wonder why we feel so mentally exhausted, even though we didn't physically move much. The truth is, exhaustion often isn't about what you did. It's about what you carried. The Stoics understood that energy is sacred, not in some abstract spiritual way, but in a practical daily sense. Your energy is your most limited resource. Where you direct it shapes your mental state, your productivity, your peace, your ability to think clearly. So the question becomes, how much of that energy are you wasting on what doesn't belong to you? Most of us don't realize how deeply entangled we are with the uncontrollable. We feel responsible for how others feel, how they interpret our words, how life unfolds for them. We think it's compassion or duty or loyalty, but it's not. When you constantly pour your energy into fixing what was never yours to begin with, you don't just lose time, you lose your sense of inner balance. And over time, that becomes your normal state, constantly reacting, constantly anxious, constantly tired. Reclaiming your energy is not an act of selfishness, it's an act of responsibility. Because when you pull your focus back to what's yours, your choices, your discipline, your attention, your emotional responses, you become more powerful, not less. You don't become cold or distant. You become centered. You begin to choose what's worth your time and what's not. Take a simple example. Someone disrespects you. You can replay it for hours, analyze every word, tell 10 friends about it. Or you can acknowledge it, set a boundary if needed, and move on. One of those choices drains you. The other restores you. It's not about pretending things don't affect you. It's about not letting them dominate you. Or think of how often we waste energy imagining the future. What if this happens? What if they don't respond? What if I fail? We tell ourselves that worrying is preparation, but it's not. Worry is a mental rehearsal of pain. It drains the present moment of clarity and replaces it with fear. The Stoic approach is different. Do what you can, prepare with reason, then let go. You can't outthink uncertainty, but you can choose not to be consumed by it. And this principle applies not just to individuals, but to how you view the world, the news cycle, social media, the endless stream of opinions and events outside your control. If you let them, they'll steal your peace shape your emotions, and dominate your mental space. But you have a choice. You can unplug. You can limit what you expose yourself to. You can reclaim your focus, not by ignoring the world, but by filtering it. This is what reclaiming energy looks like in real life. Unsubscribing from emotional chaos, choosing your responses, protecting your inner space like you would protect your home. You don't open your front door to every stranger. Why open your mind to every worry? And yes, this takes discipline. It means being honest about your patterns. It means saying, no, I won't overthink that again. No, I won't spend the day dwelling on something I can't change. No, I won't waste my energy on someone who doesn't even value it. That kind of self-control doesn't make you cold. It makes you clear. Because clarity is power. And when you finally stop giving your energy to the uncontrollable, you'll be shocked at how much lighter you feel and how much more you can do with what's actually yours. Let go of illusions of power over others. One of the most draining habits we carry is the illusion that we can control how other people behave. That if we say the right thing, act the right way, give enough, stay calm enough, they'll change. That they'll treat us with more respect. That they'll love us the way we love them. That they'll understand us, value us, or finally give us closure. But this is the trap, the false hope that our inner peace depends on someone else's transformation. It doesn't. It never has. Because no matter how thoughtful, patient, or generous you are, you don't control how others think, feel, or act. And trying to manipulate their behavior, even with good intentions, is not connection. It's control in disguise. The Stoics taught that to live in harmony with nature is to accept people as they are, not as we wish them to be. That doesn't mean you tolerate mistreatment or settle for less than you deserve. It means you stop trying to force people to become what they are not ready or willing to be. You set boundaries, not ultimatums. You walk away, not to punish, but to protect your peace. Because trying to change someone who doesn't want to change is like trying to hold the wind in your hand. It will slip through, and all you'll be left with is frustration. Think of how much mental weight we carry from relationships where we keep adjusting, explaining, hoping. We think, if I just do more, they'll see. Or, if I can make them understand, maybe things will change. But that cycle turns into emotional servitude. You slowly begin to abandon your own values just to keep the connection alive. And in doing so, you don't just lose energy, you lose yourself. True freedom begins when you accept this. People are who they choose to be, not who you need them to be. Your responsibility ends at your side of the equation. You can offer love, but you can't demand it in return. You can show respect, but you can't control how someone responds. You can speak the truth, but you can't force them to listen. And the sooner you let go of that illusion, the sooner you reclaim the energy you've been pouring into the impossible. Letting go doesn't mean closing your heart. It means opening your eyes. It means seeing clearly that influence is not the same as power. You may inspire someone. You may support their growth. But the moment you try to bend their will to meet your needs, you've stepped out of love and into fear. And that fear of being misunderstood, unloved, rejected, is what keeps us clinging. We think control will save us from pain, but it only creates more. It creates tension, resistance, emotional warfare. You find yourself exhausted from conversations that never go anywhere, from trying to please someone who keeps shifting the goalposts. And all along, there's a simple truth waiting to be seen. It's not your job to change them. It's your job to choose how you respond to them. So what does it look like to let go of this illusion? It looks like no longer chasing apologies you'll never get, no longer crafting messages you won't send, no longer molding yourself into a shape that pleases someone else. It looks like walking away from people who benefit from your silence and reclaiming the voice you gave up trying to keep the peace. Because peace isn't found in controlling others, it's found in setting yourself free from the need to. The Stoic doesn't beg for understanding. He lives with integrity and allows the world to respond however it chooses. And that's a hard path, because it requires surrendering your need to be seen a certain way. But in that surrender, you gain something stronger than approval. You gain self-respect. So ask yourself, who are you still trying to change? Whose behavior are you obsessing over? Who are you shrinking for, hoping that if you're good enough, they'll finally get it? And what would happen if you just let go? Not out of spite, not to prove a point, but because your energy deserves better, because your peace is more valuable than someone else's opinion, and because the only thing more exhausting than trying to change others is realizing you never had to. Accept reality to master it. Most suffering begins not with what is, but with what we refuse to accept. It's not the situation itself that crushes us. It's our resistance to it. We wish it were different. We think it's unfair. We cling to how it should be. And in doing so, we trap ourselves in an invisible cage, a war with reality that no one ever wins. This is one of the hardest truths Stoicism offers. Acceptance is not giving up. It's stepping into clarity. It's looking life straight in the eyes and saying, "This is what it is, and now I choose how to meet it." That's not weakness. That's mastery. Because when you stop wishing the rain away, you can finally decide what to do with the storm. But let's be honest, it's uncomfortable to accept things we don't like. It feels passive. We fear it means surrender. If I accept that I failed, does that mean I stop trying? If I accept that they're gone, does that mean it didn't matter? If I accept this pain, does that mean I'm okay with it? The answer is no. Acceptance isn't resignation, it's recognition. It's the first step in reclaiming power, because you can't change what you won't face, and you can't improve a reality you keep denying. Epictetus taught, "Make the best use of what is in your power, and take the rest as it happens." That's the core of Stoicism, not blind positivity, not passive suffering, but practical wisdom. If something is broken, fix it. If something can't be fixed, adjust your relationship to it. Either way, start with what is, not what you wish. Think about how much time we spend fighting reality, hoping someone will be different, wishing we had a different childhood, resisting a diagnosis, denying the truth about a relationship, about a job, about ourselves. And all the while, reality sits patiently, waiting for us to stop struggling long enough to see it clearly. Acceptance doesn't mean liking everything. It means being honest about what's here, now. Because only from that place of honesty can you act with wisdom. You can't navigate life if your map is based on fantasy. The Stoic begins with what's real, no matter how uncomfortable, because from there, action is clear. Imagine this. You lose something important, a job, a friend, a plan you poured your heart into. You have two options. You can resist. This shouldn't have happened. You can replay every moment, every detail, searching for a different outcome. Or you can accept, this happened. I didn't want it. I didn't choose it. But here it is. Now what? That shift changes everything. It frees your energy. It gives you direction. It puts you back in motion. And this doesn't just apply to big moments, it's in the little ones too. The missed train, the rude comment, the long delay, the unexpected change. Every time something interrupts your flow, you're given a choice. Resist or accept. React or respond. Panic or pause. And the more you choose acceptance, the more resilient you become. Not because life gets easier, but because you stop wasting your strength on what cannot be undone. One of the most powerful forms of acceptance is self-acceptance, because often the hardest thing to face is ourselves, our flaws, our regrets, our limitations. But the Stoic doesn't avoid the mirror. He uses it. He looks with courage, not judgment. He says, "This is who I am today, and I take full responsibility." That's where growth begins. Not in shame, but in truth. So if there's something in your life you've been resisting, a truth you've avoided, a change you've postponed, a reality you keep rewriting, take this as a sign, not to give up, but to wake up, to step out of the illusion and into awareness. Because once you stop fighting what is, you can start building what could be. And that is real freedom. Control your thoughts and actions only. In a world where everything seems urgent, where opinions fly faster than facts, where expectations from others mount by the hour, and where we are constantly told what we should think, feel, or become, it's easy to forget the simple truth. The only things truly under your control are your thoughts and your actions. Nothing more, nothing less. This is the core of Stoic teaching and also its greatest challenge, because the human mind is wired to grasp, to judge, to anticipate. We think if we worry enough, we'll be safe. If we plan enough, we'll stay ahead. If we think about someone long enough, they'll change. But all of that is mental noise, activity without authority. We mistake overthinking for control, when in reality it's just fear in disguise. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." He didn't say you have power over outcomes, or over others, or over the past, just your mind, and what you choose to do with it. But let's pause and really consider that, because it sounds simple, but it's not easy. Controlling your thoughts doesn't mean suppressing them, it means directing them, it means training your mind like a muscle. When the voice of doubt shows up, you don't argue with it, you observe it. When jealousy creeps in, you don't feed it, you reframe it. When anger rises, you don't explode, you investigate. You shift from being a passenger in your mind to becoming the driver. And when it comes to your actions, the same principle applies. You don't control how people receive you, but you control the intention behind your words. You don't control what the world offers, but you control how you show up in it. Your values, your standards, your discipline, that's your domain. And when you stay rooted there, you become unshakable. This isn't just philosophy. It's the foundation of emotional maturity. Immature minds want to control others. They want to change external reality before they've changed their internal state. But the Stoic understands. Your freedom begins the moment you stop trying to rewrite the outside and start mastering the inside. Imagine a day where every time something upset you, someone ignored you, a plan failed, a stranger was rude, you paused and asked, "What part of this is mine to control?" And then, instead of reacting, you chose your response. You redirected your thoughts. You recalibrated your actions. That's not weakness. That's command. That's what it means to live with intention, not reaction. It also means letting go of blame. If your thoughts and actions are yours to control, then so is your responsibility. You're not a victim of your emotions, you're the author of them. And when you slip, when you act impulsively, when you let negativity guide you, you don't beat yourself up. You realign. You ask, what belief led me here? What action can I take now? That's how a Stoic moves, not with shame, but with awareness. This level of self-governance takes time. It's a daily practice, and it won't make you immune to pain, but it will give you clarity through it. The world might still shake, but you won't crumble. Not because you control the chaos, but because you control your mind within it. So if you're overwhelmed right now, if you feel scattered, reactive, emotionally pulled in every direction, come back to this question, what do I control right now? If it's not your thought, let it pass. If it's not your action, let it go. Because the more you focus on what's yours, the more power you reclaim from what isn't. And when you consistently live from that place, thought by thought, choice by choice, you'll realize something liberating. You don't need to control everything to be at peace with anything. The Stoic mind filters chaos through clarity. Chaos is inevitable. Life is unpredictable, messy, and often unfair. Things break, people disappoint, plans unravel, and it all happens without warning. But here's the Stoic truth. Chaos itself is not the enemy. It's how we filter that chaos that determines whether it destroys us or transforms us. Most people react to life like a sponge. They absorb everything. Every insult, every fear, every failure. The Stoic, however, is not a sponge. He is a filter. He lets the noise pass through and holds on only to what matters. What gives someone this ability? It's not cold detachment, it's not emotional suppression, it's clarity, and clarity begins with self-awareness. A Stoic mind doesn't avoid chaos. It watches it, it observes, it asks, is this event as terrible as it feels? Or is it my interpretation that's fueling the fire? That simple pause creates distance, and in that distance, wisdom grows. You see, we live in a world that rewards speed, instant reactions, hot takes, snap judgments, but the Stoic mind resists that impulse. It slows down, it breathes, it waits, and in that space between stimulus and response, something powerful happens. Choice. You stop being a puppet pulled by your emotions and become a person acting from values. Clarity means you don't get dragged into every storm, not because you don't care, but because you care enough to protect your peace. You stop giving your energy to things that only want to consume it. You stop fighting battles that aren't yours. You stop answering questions that don't need answers. Not everything requires your reaction, and not every situation deserves your explanation. Take this example. Someone speaks to you with disrespect. Your first reaction is heat, maybe anger, maybe pain. But the Stoic mind doesn't act on heat. It examines it. It asks, is this about me, or is this about their own struggle? And often, when you dig deeper, you find that people's behavior says more about them than about you. Clarity gives you that perspective. It helps you choose grace over ego, silence over drama, peace over pride. But let's be clear, clarity isn't passive. It doesn't mean you let life walk over you. It means you choose your stance intentionally. Sometimes clarity tells you to walk away. Sometimes it tells you to speak up. Sometimes it tells you to sit with the discomfort instead of numbing it with distraction. But whatever it tells you, it comes from a place of reason, not reactivity. Developing this filter takes time. It's a practice, not a personality trait. It means questioning your assumptions. It means detaching from the story you're telling yourself It means understanding that your thoughts are not always facts. And most of all, it means reminding yourself daily, what I feel is real, but that doesn't mean it's true. The Stoic mind uses clarity as a compass, not to escape the world, but to engage with it more skillfully. It knows that peace isn't the absence of problems, it's the presence of perspective. And when you train your mind to slow down, to ask better questions, to choose what deserves your reaction, then even in the middle of a storm, you will move with intention, not panic. So here's the reflection. How often are you reacting from emotion instead of responding from clarity? How much chaos in your life is created not by events, but by your interpretation of those events? And what would your life feel like if you filtered your world through wisdom instead of noise? Train your mind to see clearly, and chaos will lose its power over you. Strength is built in surrender to what is. It sounds contradictory at first, the idea that surrender could be a form of strength. We're conditioned to think of strength as resistance, as pushing through, standing tall, never yielding. But the truth is, some of the most powerful moments in life come not when we fight, but when we stop fighting, when we stop resisting what already is and start aligning with it. Surrender, in the Stoic sense, is not about giving up. It's not laziness and it's not defeat. It's the disciplined recognition of reality. It's looking at a situation honestly and saying, "This is the truth right now. I may not like it, but I won't waste my energy pretending it isn't so." That's not weakness. That's clarity under pressure. And in that clarity, you begin to respond with wisdom, not just reaction. Think about this. When you get caught in a current while swimming, thrashing against it only makes you sink faster. But if you surrender to the current, not in panic, but with presence, you conserve energy. You float. You breathe. And from that calm, you gain the strength to navigate, to redirect, to reach the shore. Life works the same way. You can resist every change, every loss, every unexpected event, or you can surrender to what is and reclaim your power to respond well. The Stoics knew that much of human suffering doesn't come from what happens, it comes from our refusal to accept it. We want things to be different. We replay how it could have gone. We hold on to should have been, like it's a lifeline, but all it does is drown us. Seneca wrote, "Fate leads the willing and drags the unwilling." When you surrender to what is, you move with life. When you resist, you get dragged. And surrender isn't just about the big moments, like loss or heartbreak or failure. It's about the daily ones too. The small frustrations, the missed opportunities, the delay in plans, the unexpected detour. A Stoic learns to see these not as enemies, but as invitations. Each one is a chance to practice letting go, to release the grip of control, and to say, "I will meet this moment as it is, not as I demand it to be." It takes far more courage to surrender than to struggle endlessly. Because surrender requires trust, not blind optimism, but deep, reasoned trust. Trust in your ability to adapt. Trust in life's movement. Trust in the idea that fighting the inevitable only makes it heavier. And in that trust, you begin to conserve something precious, your strength. Strength, then, isn't found in how much you can carry, but in how well you can release. It's found in your ability to stand calm in the face of the unchangeable. To say, "This happened. I feel it. I grieve it. And still, I move forward." That is real power. That is emotional maturity. So if there's something in your life right now that you're resisting, a truth you keep avoiding, a change you keep denying, a reality you keep trying to bend, ask yourself, "What would happen if I stopped resisting?" Not because I agree with it, not because I'm giving up, but because I want to use my energy to respond, not to wrestle shadows. Surrender doesn't mean silence. It doesn't mean inaction. It means your actions are guided by acceptance, not illusion. And that changes everything. You move from force to flow, from tension to clarity, from struggle to strength. In a world obsessed with control, the one who surrenders with wisdom stands out, not as weak, but as centered. Choose intentional response over reaction. Every moment of your life presents you with a fork in the road. One path is reaction, fast, automatic, often emotional. The other is response, slow, considered, and intentional. And while reaction might feel powerful in the moment, it often leads to regret. Response, on the other hand, may feel quiet, but it builds character. It preserves dignity. And most importantly, it gives you back control. The difference between the two is not just timing, it's consciousness. Reaction is what happens when you let your emotions drive the car. Response is when you acknowledge those emotions, but keep your hands on the wheel. The Stoics believed that the gap between stimulus and action is sacred. That's where your freedom lives. You can't always choose what happens to you, but you can always choose what happens through you. That split second, that breath, that pause, that moment of awareness is your opportunity to rise above your lower instincts and live according to your values. Let's take an example. Someone cuts you off in traffic. The instant reaction is rage, maybe even yelling, honking, stewing in frustration for the next 20 minutes. And for what? The Stoic would pause, ask, "Is this worth my peace? Will this matter tomorrow? Is this event truly deserving of my energy? Or is it my pride reacting to a moment I can't control?" That pause, that internal interrogation, is how you interrupt the cycle. Because most of our reactions are inherited, conditioned, unquestioned. We absorb them from our families, our environments, our past wounds. But response is a conscious act. It says, "This time I choose differently. I will not repeat the pattern. I will not let this moment define me." And this practice extends far beyond traffic or inconveniences. It touches how you deal with criticism, disappointment, betrayal, even success. When someone misunderstands you, do you defend impulsively, or do you listen and clarify with purpose? When you're hurt, do you lash out? Or do you take space, reflect, and communicate with maturity? These are not just emotional habits. They are the bricks of your character. Choosing response means recognizing that power does not lie in domination. It lies in composure. Anyone can yell. Anyone can panic. Anyone can strike back. But it takes inner strength to remain calm, to respond from principle, not pressure. That's the kind of strength the world feels, even in your silence. Marcus Aurelius practiced this constantly. As Emperor of Rome, he had the power to punish or reward instantly. But in his writings, he constantly reminded himself, "Don't be carried away by emotion. Let reason guide you. Be firm, but fair." He understood that leadership and life is not about reacting to every impulse. It's about mastering them. So, how do you develop this response muscle? You begin by noticing. Each time something stirs you, ask yourself, "Is this a reaction or a response?" You give yourself space before replying. You train your nervous system to associate discomfort with curiosity, not chaos. You become less interested in being right and more committed to being wise. You'll still feel emotions. That's part of being human. But the Stoic knows that emotions are messengers, not masters. You listen, but you don't obey blindly. You acknowledge them, then choose how to act. And over time, something beautiful happens. You become less reactive, less drained, more deliberate, more respected. People feel the difference in you, and more importantly, you feel the difference in yourself. You stop being a slave to the world around you. You become someone who responds with depth, not noise. So the next time life presses your buttons, pause. Ask yourself, do I want to add more chaos or more clarity? Because every time you choose intentional response over reaction, you become more of the person you're meant to be. True control is self-control. When people talk about power, they usually think of influence, dominance, authority, the ability to change things around them. But the Stoics had a radically different definition. To them, the highest form of control was not what you commanded outside, but what you mastered inside. And nothing exemplifies that more than self-control. Self-control is the invisible strength that governs your choices when no one is watching. It's the discipline to hold your tongue when anger flares, the restraint to not indulge in every craving, the commitment to act with integrity, even when it costs you. It's not about being cold or robotic. It's about being aligned. It's about not letting every emotion dictate your behavior and not allowing impulse to override principle. Epictetus said it best. No man is free who is not master of himself. And that mastery doesn't come through force. It comes through awareness, through daily practice, through failure, correction, and quiet repetition. You don't wake up one day with self-control. You build it, slowly, like muscle. Every time you say no to what weakens you and yes to what strengthens you, you become freer. Not freer from rules, but freer from chaos. Think about it. How often do we blame others or the world for our emotional storms? We say, they made me angry. They broke me. The world is unfair. But that's the mindset of someone who's outsourced their power. The Stoic refuses to live like that. He doesn't pretend feelings don't exist, but he does insist on governing how he responds to them. Self-control gives you space, space between thought and action, space between desire and decision, space between chaos and clarity. And in that space, you don't just survive, you rise. You become someone others can trust, someone you can trust, because you know you won't betray yourself in a moment of weakness. But self-control isn't just about saying no to temptation. It's about saying yes to what matters. It's choosing purpose over pleasure, progress over comfort, discipline over distraction. And that's what separates the Stoic from the average mind. He doesn't seek to control the world. He seeks to control the one thing that defines every moment of his life, himself. This control shows up in small, ordinary ways. Waking up when you said you would. Finishing the task you wanted to quit. Holding back from proving your point in a pointless argument. Choosing silence over drama. Choosing rest over burnout. None of these acts are flashy, but together they form a kind of armor, one that protects your focus, your values, your time. And it's in those small acts that true strength is revealed, not in grand gestures, not in domination, but in quiet consistency. You don't need to control the noise of the world when you've found the volume knob inside yourself. So if you're searching for control, start here, not with the world, not with others, with your thoughts, your words, your actions. That's where the battle is. That's where the victory is. Not because the world gets easier, but because you get stronger. And in the end, that's what Stoicism teaches. Your greatest power isn't what you can control. it's who you become when you do. The world will always be unpredictable. People will disappoint. Plans will fall apart. Life will test your patience, your strength, and your sense of meaning. But through all of that, there's one truth that remains steady. You are not here to control the chaos. You are here to master yourself within it. That's what Stoicism offers. Not a perfect life, but a powerful mind. A mind that knows what's worth holding on to and what to release. A mind that pauses before reacting, that filters pain through clarity, that doesn't surrender to fear, but doesn't waste energy trying to command the uncontrollable either. If there's one thing to take from this episode, it's this. Your peace is not waiting for life to calm down. It's waiting for you to stop fighting what was never yours to fight. You don't need to control the future to walk into it with strength. You just need to control your breath, your thoughts, your next step. So, step lightly, choose wisely, and carry this simple principle with you. The more you master yourself, the less the world can shake you. If this episode helped you find even a small shift in your thinking, share it, reflect on it, let it echo throughout your day, and most of all, live it.